began, she was coming back in L, and all the way through we've been focused on the first half, one aspect of Tfilas Kelim, which is the question of the figuring out which Chavetz is Chayv, which Chavetz does not have all the Tanaim that determine whether a Kli is Chayv or not. We spoke about the three and four Tanaim. Three times the Gemara mentions, as well as making sure that Itaka has Hashem Kli. Now we go back to the beginning again. We'll go back again to the beginning of the Siman to focus on the other half of the discussion, and that's the discussion of the Ofen HaTfila. Assuming that I have a Kli which fits all the requirements, the Takas Chayav and Tfila, how do I go about totaling the Kli? So Sif Aleph itself contains both of these issues, which Kli is Chayav, and we ended with that last time, as well as opening the discussion of how one goes about totaling a Kli. The Maisa Tfila, and that's the beginning and the end of the Siman. Sifim Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and then from Sif Yud Beis to the end. You look in the Torah, you see that those Sifim at the end are almost entirely rooted in the Beis Yosef alone, not in the Torah, which is maybe why they appear at the end instead of up here in the beginning. A lot of fascinating issues come up. And the first issue, before getting to the question of what I do, my Maisa, the first issue, which is the Sif Aleph issue, is the question of what's considered to be a kosher mikveh kelim. And to appreciate Shulchan Aruch just says, Tzarech la'pil b'mikveh o b'mayan shel arba imsa. I have to total the kelim in a mikveh or a mayan of 40 sas. So let's give a little bit of background to appreciate what this means and to appreciate some of the discussions that the Rishonim have here. The Psukim, the Pasuk at the end of Parsha Shmini, towards the end of Parsha Shmini, describes a location that you use for tefillah. Psukim in several places in the Chumash talk about rechitza, talk about what tovling either a person or a kli. The Pasuk towards the end of Shmini describes this rechitza takes place, ach mayanu bor mikveh mayim. It's two options. Either it's a mayan or it's a bor mikveh mayim. Either it's a spring or it's a pith with a mikveh of mayim. Yikavu ha-mayim, the Torah tells us in Parshas Bereishis, to gather together. The Torah says either you have a spring or you have a gathering of water. Halacha l'maisa, this means that the Mishnayos, we talk about this in the first parak of Mikvos and throughout Masechta, that there are two types of bodies of water that are kosher for tefillah. One is a stationary gathering of water. That's what a mikveh means, that the water is stationary. And that could be rainwater. It could be megushamim. And the megushamim settle in a pit, some sort of not in a kli, in a hole in the ground. That's a bor mikveh mayim. Or I could have a mayim. I could have groundwater. I could have spring water that comes out of the ground rather than rainwater that's falling from the sky. Then that too is kosher. And the Mishnayos already indicate, and the Gemara discusses a greater length, that a mayan need not be a mikvah. Meaning, if it's spring water, then it can be in motion. That's what the Mishnayos already pointed out at the end of the first paragraph of Mikvos. If it's a spring water, there could be in motion. It could be zochalin. It doesn't have to be be'eshborin. It doesn't have to be stationary in a crack in the ground. If it's rainwater or melted snow caps, the same as rainwater, then it's only kosher if it's a mikveh. The Gemara Nedarim has a discussion about the Hilchos Mikvos. The Nedarim wants to know what's the status of a river. Can I tovel in a river or not? So the Gemara Darm says it may depend on the season. It has to do with where does the bulk of the water come from? What's the primary source of the river? Is it primarily from groundwater, primarily mayanos, or is it primarily rainwater? So it's primarily rainwater. Look, it's in motion. It's no good. It's zochalin. Right? Rainwater is only kosher if it's a mikveh, if it's covered in a kaima, if it's fixed in place. But if it's mostly groundwater, if it's mostly spring water, so then I don't care if it's moving or not. So that's what the Gemara says. That if the Nahar is mostly spring water, because then you go Tovlin even though it's moving. If the Nahar is mostly rainwater, so then it's going to be a problem. And the Gemara goes on to say, for many rivers, it's going to depend on the season. Why does it depend on the season? The Gemara says, so if you have a river that's significantly higher in the springtime than in the fall, so what does that tell you? Yeah, that tells you that it's being fed in the springtime by melting snow caps. So that's megashamim. So that, at that point, you have a lot of megashamim. So they say this is no good because it's in motion. When it's most, if the different season of the year, if it's mostly spring water, so then the zochalin is not a problem. So that's Aleph Beis. Some of the Aleph Beis of Hilchos Mikvos, you have two options. You have mikvah or mayim. If it's mei mayanos, if it's spring water, so it's kosher letvila, regardless of whether it's zochalin or not, regardless of whether it's moving or not. If it's mei geshamim, if it's rainwater, then it needs to be tzvori. It needs to be stationary. It cannot be zochalin. It cannot be moving. Most mikvahos that you're going to visit, most constructed mikvahos, are fed by mei geshamim. There's a lot to say, not for now, in terms of how the halachic construction of that, because usually you don't actually tovel in the actual rainwater. Usually there's one space that has, or one bar that has rainwater, then connected to it is another bar that you can fill and refill with tap water. Tap water is neither mei geshamim nor mei mayim. Tap water went through a kli. Mayim shuvim is not good to, you can't build a mikvah with mayim shuvim. If I have rainwater over here on the side, and then I connect tap water to that, so then the tap water, once I have 40 sa'av of kosher rainwater, so then if I add tap water, I add my mshuvim, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. So practically speaking, that's a way, just understanding why it works that way. Whenever you go to a kosher mikveh, typically you'll see then the bar tevila, the bar that you're actually toveling in, there's usually a hole or a series of holes. That's connecting the bar tevila to the bar of mei geshamim. The bar of mei geshamim is actually powering everything. The bar of mei geshamim is what's being machshir, the tap water bar tevila, to be a kasher mikvah. The reason why that's practically what you want to do is from a hygienic standpoint, because you're going to want to change the water, and unless you live in a tropical rainforest, you can't change the rainwater that often, because then you have to wait for it to refill. You need to have your 40 saw of rainwater. So usually the way to handle it practically, one of the ways to handle it practically, is to have two boros. One is a repository of actual mei geshamim. You build a mikvah so that the rainwater can fall into that space, that bar of mei geshamim. And that doesn't get changed much, if at all, or maybe occasionally. But you attach that, you have another bar that you fill with tap water, and without getting involved in the details, Hilchos Mikvos, there's a Masechta, and there's a Siman in Yeridaeus, and later in Yeridaeus, in Rishalaf, about Halach, long, beautiful Siman about Halachos Mikvos. But if you have a significant enough connection between the bar of Mei Geshamim and the bar of Shuvim, so the Shuvim also gets Hechsher, it becomes connected to Mei Geshamim. Just like once you have 40 sa'av mei geshamim, you could pour more mayim shuvim on top, and the whole thing is kasher. You could also have something side by side. You open up a large enough passageway, a large enough opening between the two. Now the mei geshamim, the bar tevila, is also kasher. The mei shuvim, the tap water, the bar tevila, also is kasher for tevila. That's practically how a mikvah is typically built. There's more to say about the details. But that's sort of the overall picture of how a mikveh is typically built. And again, usually it's a mikveh, not a mayim. Unless you happen to be building your makam tefillah in a place that is fed by a spring, you're not going to... There is a mikveh in Muncie.
There is a mikveh.
Yeah. There are mikvehs that are mei mayanos, but that's pretty rare. Most mikvehs are mikvehs. Most mikvehs, colloquially, are actually a mikveh. It's a stationary water that's kosher, not because it's spring water, but because it's stationary rainwater. So... Now, the din is halacha Moshe Sinai. Halacha Moshe Sinai has it that the shear for a mikvah, if a person is going to tovel, and Torah says a person can tovel in a mikvah and become tar, the shear of the minimum size of a mikvah that's kasher l'tfilas adam is 40 sa'ar. Now Tosfos here coming to our sugya on Heyman Beis, here the Gemara Tosfos points out that there's a Gemara Psachim, a Gemara Nazir, Psachim Yitzayim, Nazir Lamed Ches, that says that shear that a mikvah requires mem sa'ar, that's by Adam. By Kalim in HaTorah, so the vast majority of Rishonim read that Gemara, by Kalim in HaTorah, you don't need 40 sa'ar. The Gemara seems to say that in HaTorah, for Kalim, it's enough to have a revius, which is a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction. 40 sa'ar is 3 cubic amos. They're large enough to fit a typically sized human being. So 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 ammas. That's a revius is a couple of fluid ounces. Tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of that. So the Gemara Psachim and Azra seems to say that min ha-Torah, mikvah requires memsa for Adam, and mikvah requires revius for Caleb. And as Tosas quotes, the Gemara says, midrabanan, they're mevalta that. Midrabanan, but lula reviasa, midrabanan, they're mevalta this idea of a revius, and midrabanan, even a mikvah for Caleb requires mem sa'ah. Just to stress, obviously revius is only going to work if the kli is small enough. So Gemara talks about you have needles, you have little other small kalim that can fit in revius. Revius is just a few ounces. The mikvah always has to be large enough to contain at one moment the person or the kli who or which is undergoing tefillah. It's true for mem sa'ah for a person also. If you have a person who's unusually tall and unusually broad, so it could be mem sa'ah won't fit him or her. Okay, see. Obviously, the mikvah always has to be large enough to fit bevas achas. That's the definition of ma'aseh tefila. Unlike kashering kelim, where you can dip a part at a time, when you total kelim, so you have to have kol gufo bevas achas, gufo of the person or gufo of the kli. So that's a given. Okay, but assuming that the person or kli can fit into this body of water, this mikvah, what's the inherent shear of the mikvah? So the Gemara says in Psachim and Nazir, for Adam, mikvah requires mem sa'ah min ha-Torah, halacha Moshe Sinai. For a kli, to be metahir a kli, I have a kli that became tamei, I want to be metahir it, so min ha-Torah revius is enough, and midrabanan, I need mem sa'ah. Okay, that's the Gemara in Psachim and Nazir. That's the din in terms of the classic original din of mikvah in the context of Tumah of the Tahara. My fork or my knife, or as the Mishnah is talking about, my bed. I want my bed to be tahar. The bed became tameh because an adam tameh touched it or slept on it, and I want the bed to be tahar. So it won't be metameh other people. It won't be metameh my truma. I want the bed to be tahar. So how do I take the... Obviously, bed's not going to fit in revius. Okay. We have a smaller kli, so it's going to fit in a smaller mikvah. Okay, good. So that's what the Gemara says. Again, according to almost all Rishonim, the Rama maybe disagrees, not for now. According to all or almost all Rishonim, revius is fine for a mikvah lekelim min haTorah. Midrabanan, though, you need to have mem sa'ah. Tosfos says, Tosfos right here makes the point with that background. You appreciate what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is now suitably impressed. We are, now that Tosfos gave the background, we're suitably impressed by the language of the Gemara. The very first comment in the Sugya Ayin Hei of Beis and Avodah Zarah, Tana, v'chulam tzrichin tefila be'arboim sa'ah. The only tefila in arboim sa'ah. Arboim sa'ah. Arboim sa'ah. So we, the first time, so I said, yeah, a mikvah. Yeah, arboim says mikvah. Then I say, 1 second. Tesla says, Gemara Pesachim Gvar Nazir says, Minatayra, revius is enough for Kalim. Obviously, you were talking about Kalim. So Tosfos says, and the Rashban Taras Abayas quotes Ramban to the same thing, that there are two different types of tefillah. And this goes back to an idea we saw in other contexts. There's tefillah v'tum v'tara, and then there's tefillah for Isra v'heter. V'tum v'tara, that's where the Gemara differentiates between tefillah z'adam and tefillah z'kelim, and a Torah for tefillah z'kelim is enough to have, it's enough to have a revius. But Tosfos says, and because the Gemara goes on to discuss drushas. So this is not just on level of Drabanan, on our Gemara's level of Daraisa. Tosfos says, yeah, because Tfilas Klei Midyan, Tfilas Kehil HaNekach HaNakam is different than Tevilas Tuma. Different than Tevilas Tuma. That's what, that's how Tosfos reads the Hemshech of the Gemara. That's how the first approach in Rashi. The second approach, maybe the Hemshech Gemara, well, it wasn't talking about Shear, maybe the Hemshech Gemara was talking about the point we mentioned a few minutes ago, that the Kli has to be called Gufa Ol Vasachas. You can't dip one side and the other side. There has to be one moment when the whole thing is submerged. Okay, both that is true. That might not be what the Gemara is saying. It is true that Tzvila has to be called Gufa Kli Vasachas. And again, the first approach in the Rashba and the Taisis understand that, but the Gemara here was talking about the need for Memsa, and that the need for Memsa is not just Halacha L'maisa, but Min HaTorah. And why is that? Because Tfilas Kehil HaNekachim Min HaAkim, our sugya, our topic, Simen Kuf Chaf, that's the Tfilah of Yisra V'Hetzer, that's different than Tfilas, it's different than Tfilas Tum. Tov. So that's one issue that comes up. That's one issue that comes up in the discussion, the Sif Aleph discussion of what's considered to be a kosher body of water for Tfilas Kehilim. So the first point is, mikveh has to be mem sa'ah, doesn't it? And min ha-Torah. Mikveh has to be mem sa'ah, min ha-Torah, because that, and where did that come from, by the way? So why is that true, though? Okay, so it's a different type of tefillah, but mechatesi? And the answer is because we're learning from Nida, right? It's mei Nida, ach b'mei Nida yizchata. So mayim shanida tovelas b'hem. That was the Gemara's point, as the Gemara unpacked all the drushes. A Nida goes to mikvah, both from a Isra v'hetra and from a Tum v'tara perspective. A Nida requires memsa, because tefilas Adam, even for Tum v'tara, tefilas Adam does require memsa. So that's what's interesting. And what Tosfos is really driving at is that when the Torah presents this tefillah of Kehilim HaNekachim HaAkum, the Torah is not equating it to Tefillas Kehilim L'tumah. The Torah is equating it to Tefillas Adam L'tumah. The main Nidah, that's how the Torah just chose to describe it. So that's why, even though Tefillas Kehilim for Tumah is Me'ator B'Rabiyah, but Tefillas Kehilim for Yisra V'Heter, Tefillas Kehilim HaNekachim HaAkum, that is... like Tfilas Adam L'Tumah, that requires Mem Sa'ah Min HaTorah. So, then the Shulchan Aruch went on to also talk about the Mayan, that have a spring. Again, what was the language of Shulchan Aruch here? Sarach La'adbilin, if you have the right type of Kli, that's Chaya, fits all the conditions. If Nikach Min Ha'akum, it's Kli Suda, it's Matechas, or it's Zechuchas, and it has the same Kli, Sarach La'adbilin, the Mikvah, O B'Mayan, O Mayan, Shel Arboim Sa'ah. So the Taz here on the side says, ooh, look at the Beis Yosef, he starts a whole discussion. There's a lot going on here. And the tour already gets started with it, and then the Beis Yosef has a lot to say about Mayan. So let's just explain that a little bit also. There is a dion about whether or not Mayan, if I have spring water, Do I need Arbaim Sa'ah? Which can come up practically. I find the spring, I'm hiking, and I have whatever Kli I took along. I realize we didn't tovel it before leaving on the hike. Okay, so it's, serious hikers try to, minimize their weight, mamash, like by the ounce or by the fraction of the ounce. If you're a serious hiker, it's like, tragedy, brought along a spoon that you can't use. Okay, shame. It is what it is. Baruch Hashem, not the biggest deal. But Lamaisi, you would like to use a spoon. You'd rather use the fork than eat with your hands. Certainly, if you could try to make some soup, it's going to be easier to eat it with a spoon. But okay, but you didn't tovel it. It's a metal spoon. It's a nish is nish. Then you find, maybe when you're hiking, you might find a natural body of water. So if you find a pool of rainwater, Givaldic, that's clearly it. Pretty clear, it's rainwater, it's melted snow. Well, so you have to figure out, measure. If it's our bamsa, so then that's kashla tvila, total your fork, total your spoon. If not our bamsa, nish. How about if you find the spring? you find groundwater. So the Shulchan Aruch says you need Abayim Sar. That's what Shulchan Aruch passes. But the Taz says, look in the Beis Yosef, look in the Torah. There's a whole hakana handle about this. What's the whole discussion? So the discussion is like this. Discussion is that the Mishnayos tell us more than once in Mikvos. It's in the first parak Aleph Mishnah Zayin, and it's later on in Parak Hey Mishnah Gimel. In the context of saying other things, the Mishnayos mention that Mayan is Bikol Shehu. Lahatbil bo Bikol Shehu. Kol Shehu. Kol Shehu. What's that all about? Culture. Mine is but culture. It's a Mishnah. Mine is but culture. So what does that mean? Mine is but culture in what case? So here's an interesting machlokas. Interesting machlokas between the vast majority of the Baal HaTosfos versus Rabbeinu Simcha and probably the Rambam. The vast majority of Baal HaTosfos say that when we say the mine is Bakal Shehu, we mean mine is Bakal Shehu for Kalim, but a person needs Abraham Sa. Kalim, it's enough Bakal Shehu. But Rabbeinu Simcha says, no, mine is different than Mikvah. Mine doesn't need Abraham Sa ever. Again, you have to fit. So a typically sized person is going to need Arba Amsa anyways. But if you have someone who's smaller, you have a child or a smaller adult, isn't it? You could use less. So that's a machlokas harishonim. Whether there's a din, there's a halacha moshri sinai, that mikvah requires Arba Amsa. Is that halacha moshri only said by mikvah, or was it even said by a Mayan? So again, the Rov Chachmi Ashkenaz say it was only said that it applies bein ben mikveh bein ben mayan. Adam always requires memsa bein le mikveh bein le mayan. Or bein le simcha and prior to the Rambam say no, mayan never requires arba memsa. There's no din of arba memsa by mayan. The whole din of arba memsa was only said by a mikveh. So that's the basis for what's going on here. If you were to say that Mayan La'adam doesn't require Memsa, if you were to say that if Anita is Tovelis and a Mayan, she does need Memsa, so then there's room to say that Tvilas Kalim, which is rooted in Tvilas Nida, also, if you have a Mayan, you're hiking and you find groundwater, you find a spring, so I don't care how big it is, as long as it's big enough that the four can fit in and Bevasachas, you're good. That would flow, I'm sorry, pun unintended, that the Shita, which the Shulchan Aruch does not espouse, to be Makel and say that if it's Mayan, that there's no need for Memsa, that would be rooted in the Shita of Rabbeinu Simcha and the Rambam, that Tvilas Adam also, Tvilas Nida also doesn't require Memsa if it's a Mayan. We don't pass them that way. And we don't pass in that way here either. As an aside, I don't want to get overly into it, but if you look in Kol Tzvi, I think it was Mitzayin, the specific specific volume in the Maamar Kamos, I think there's a larger machlokas, very, very consistent, between those two groups of Rishonim, between the overwhelming majority of the Chachmei Ashkenaz on the one hand, and Tam and the Ri and the Rush and so forth, versus Rabbeinu Simcha was Ashkenazi, I think the Tam of the Rashi, and Ram of the Ravid. On the other hand, it is a general issue, which is, are mikveh and mayan a single heftza or not? In other words, Rabbeinu Simcha and the Rambam, who say, to Vilas Adam, never needs Arba'im Sa'ah b'mayan. Mayan never needs Arba'im Sa'ah. They're saying that Mayan and Mikveh have fundamentally different rules. And Lishitasam, and there are a whole slew of other Nafkaminas where Rabbeinu Simcha and the Rambam, or both, seem to say mikveh and mine really have like fundamentally different rules. Just because you have a din by mikveh, it's not necessarily going to apply by mine or vice versa. It's like two separate things. The Torah says that you could either go to mikveh, either tovel in a mikveh in gathered water, or you could tovel in a mayim. They happen to both accomplish tefillah. But for the Rambam and Rabbeinu Simcha, they're really two totally separate, different Chal Hashem with its own rules. Whereas the Rov Baliatosos, Rov Chachmi Ashkenaz, seem to understand, no. Mikveh and Mayan aren't two different types of things. There's a single Chal Hashem called water in which you tovel. In order to be water in which you tovel, you need to fulfill one of two criteria. Either you have to be a mikveh or you have to be a mayim. I mean, it has to be gathered, has to be stationary, or has to be spring water, like we said before. But basically, there's one thing called mei tevila. To be mei tevila, you either have to be stationary, regardless of source, or you have to be mayan, regardless of whether it's moving or not. But other than that, it's basically one chafetz with that has to meet one of two conditions. But other than that, there's no real distinction, according to the Baliatosis, between mikveh and mayim. They're basically just two ways to get to the same basic halashem of mei tevila. And I think there are many situations, many dinim of mikvos, in which you see the Baliatosis consistently say mikveh and mayim are the same. And here's one example. One example is the shir tevila. The Baliatosis assume, yeah, the Mishnah says mayim is bakalshu. That means bakalim. Kalim anyways don't have a din of mem sum in our Torah. But Adam, mem sum by Adam is regardless of whether it's a mikveh or a mayim. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says over here that kishem that tvilas Adam, the mayim requires mem sum, because we assume like the Baliatosis that mikveh and mayim basically operate the same way. Who had dinami? If tefillas need to require mem sa'ah, bein b'mikveh, bein b'mayim, so then certainly tefillas kelim nekachim menachim is to require mem sa'ah, regardless of whether the water comes down from the sky or up from the ground. That is how we assume halacha l'maaseh. Therefore, if you are hiking and you find that you're gonna and you want to tovel that forlorn fork. In your knapsack, in your backpack, so that's great. You're looking for mem sa'ah. It doesn't matter whether you find mei geshamim or hafshar or shlagim on the one hand, or you find mei mayanos on the other hand. Either way, you need arbam sa'ah. Again, that's rooted in the sheet of what I think is a global sheet of the Baliatosis, that mikveh and mayim are basically the same and basically share all the same rules, including that tefilas adam requires mem sa'ah min haTorah. So that's the core of what's going on in terms of a place that's kosher for tefila, and that's the ofen tefila aspect of if aleph. If there are any questions, I'd love to take questions. Okay, let's go on to Siv Beis. Let's go on to Siv Beis. Siv Beis is also rooted in Mishnayos and Mikvos. I'm sorry, I realized after printing the Marmol Kamos they were set up. I'm sorry, I jumbled things a little bit, and I put on top Mishnayos, which are really relevant to the bottom. Those two Mishnayos in the Marmol Kamos near the top really are relevant to if base. I should have organized a little bit differently. But regardless, so there's a. The Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis, rooted in the Torah, Siv Beis, they're trying to figure out, okay, so step one, I need to have the right makom tefila. I have my mikveh or my mayan, it's memsa, I'm good to go. And now the next step, chronologically, is, well, I'm going to, now that I found the right location, now I have to place the kli into the water. And here comes the practical question, how exactly am I putting a kli into the water if you know, I don't want the kli has to, as we said before, you have to have kol gufa ol vasach. That's a war. That has to be one moment in time when all sides of the all points on the outer surface of the kli are in contact with the mikveh water. But if there has to be one moment in time when it's touched the mikvah water from all sides, so then how do I not lose it? And I could just drop it into the mikvah, okay, and then it'll have its moment in the sun or its moment in the water. I have its moment when it's touching the water from all sides, and then it's going to drop to the bottom and goodbye, Charlie. Many mikvahs have either serious or facetious sides, but all the sunken treasures and how, you know, please don't contribute to our sunken treasures. I try to make sure your cleat doesn't hit the bottom, particularly if it's glass. It would be a shame to have to clean up shattered glass. Okay, and how are you going to get it back? But Lamaisa, one second, the practical problem. How do I get the kli out of the... I want to have a very, very shallow mikvah. How do I get... usually in mikvahs who came are shallower than mikvahs of people, but still, it's not that shallow. It's more than a couple inches deep. So how am I getting the kli out? So the Shulchan Aruch... based on the tour... says, well, you have two options. Either you can hold it, and there's a third option also. Either you can hold, but the Shur Shahar say, there are two options. Either hold it loosely, it has to be roughly be yado, it could be loosely in your hand, or lichlech yado b'mayim tchila, or you could hold it tightly with wet hands. Shulchan Aruch explains, look, if without any Eitzah, if you're just going to hold it, how do I get it out? I hold on to it the whole time. Yeah, if you hold on to it the whole time, as the Mechaber points out, then if you're holding it tightly, your fingers, the fingertips are chatzitza between the Meha Mikvah and that part of the Kli, that part of the surface of the Kli that's being covered by your fingers. So that's why we need a solution. So what's the solution? These two solutions. Where do these solutions come from? The truth is, these solutions, usually you would look in the Beis Yosef and he'll tell you exactly where to find it. Here the Beis Yosef tells you you got to look in Hilchas Nida, deeper into Yoredeya. The end of Hilchas Nida, I mentioned the Siman Reish Aleph is the halachas of Mikvos. The preceding Simanim, Kuf Pe Gimel to Reish, are the halachas of Nida. The last few Simanim, because it goes in semi-chronological order, the last step in Hilchas Nida is how you emerge from Hilchas Nida, from Nida status, which is obviously Tzvila. So the last couple of Simanim, the end of the Kuf Tzadis going into Siman Reish, are about halachas of Tzvila. So it says, Beis Yosef says, look in Kuf Tzadi Ches, where I discuss the details of the process of Tzvila's Nida, and you'll get the background. So what's the background? The background is primarily the last Mishnah in the 8th Perek of Mikvos, where the Mishnah presents these options. Now what's interesting is there the Mishnah presents it as a Machlokas HaTanan. If you look, you saw the end of, middle or end of Perek Ches Mishnah Hey. The Mishnah says, look, if you're going to put your, the Mishnah says a woman's going to go, or man for that matter, going to go to Mikvah and you're going to stick your hair in your mouth, so that's a problem. Because, or you stick your fingers in your mouth, that's a problem, because then that part of the hair, that part of the fingers and so forth is not in contact with the mikvah water. But then the Mishnah say, how about if I'm holding, ha'ochiz ba'adamu v'keilam v'hit bilam? If I'm holding a person or a kli, a baby needs to go to mikvah. Why is a baby going to mikvah? Either it's a tefilas geirus, or it's at a time in Jewish history when we have the schus to be able to makman tumu v'tahara. So the baby became tame, so the baby needs to become tar, so we could feed it to Rumura or whatever, as the case may be. Or we could, the Mishnah, the Gemara in Yavamas talks about, you have the little infant Kohen, you could smear him with moisturizer, which is Truma. If you're not a Kohen, you can only be smeared with moisturizer, which is Hulin. If you're a Kohen, baby Kohen can smear with Truma moisturizer, Truma oil, but only if the baby's tar. Okay, the baby became tame, take the baby to mikvah. But how you can take the baby to, or you have someone who's not so strong and they need help getting in and out of the mikvah, an adult who needs help getting in and out of the mikvah. So the Mishnah says that's really a problem. It's a problem. That's what the Mechaber says. You're going to hold a kli that's a chatzitza. Chatzitza, your hand's a chatzitza against the surface of the kli or against the surface of the person who's attempting to hold. But the Mishnah says we have two solutions. Solution number one is wet your hands first, or Reb Shimon says, yirapen, hold it loosely. So there you go. That's the Mechaber. Machaber says both solutions. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch both say, here are the two solutions. Either Merape, or if you can't hold it loosely, so then you're going to wet your hands first, and then it's also not a problem, even if you hold it tightly. So let's talk about each of those solutions, the Rifyon and the Hadacha, and then we'll wrap up with other solutions that the Shulchan Aruch did not mention. So the Rifyon, see the Shachir, Sivkat Vav, he's not happy. He's not happy. He says the Beis Yosef and Mechaber, they present it as though it's a Dabar Pasha. It's not such a Dabar Pasha. Why is it not a Dabar Pasha? Because Rifyon is Rav Shimon's Shita. Do we pass like Rav Shimon? Pass like Tanna Kamma. Pasha to pass like Tanna Kamma. So how do you come to mention Rifyon? So your answer is, well, there is a Machlokas HaRishonim. There is a Machlokas HaRishonim about Rifyon. The Rashba, this is developed more in Kuf Tzadiches. The Rashba is of the opinion that everyone agrees that Rifyon works. Everyone agrees that Rifyon, not just Rav Shimon. Everyone agrees that Rifyon works. But the simple read of the Mishnah, is that Rav Shimon, it's only Rav Shimon who says Yerapa. The Pirush HaRash on the side of the Mishnah is Beverish. Says the Chacham don't hold of Yad Rafa. He says Midrabanan Chayshin and Shem Lo Yerapa. You want to make sure you don't Chas V'Sham let go of the person, or obviously far less severe. You don't want to drop the cleat. So the Rush says Midrabanan Tanna Kamma doesn't hold Reb Shimon, but Lamaisa Tanna Kamma does not hold Reb Shimon. So that's the approach of the Rush. That's the approach of the Rambam. The Rashba says, no, everyone holds of Rifyon. Rifyon is the one who said it, but Tanna Kamma holds it also. So the Shach says, why are you so convinced? If you're accepting Rifyon, that means one of two things. Either you're passing like Rav Shimon, or you're passing like the Rashba, who holds that Rifyon, Tanna Kamma agrees to Rifyon. So the Shach is not so happy about that. But Lamaisa, the Mechaber, the Tur and the Mechaber do quote Rifyon. I believe the Chachmas Adam is comfortable with it. You look at the Pischei Tshuva, Sivkan Hei, he says, Ayin Shach, the Shach wasn't happy, but he what he says also, an interesting argument, because the Pischei Tshuva comes to the Acharon, who say, look, even if the Shach is correct that we should be concerned about the Rosh and the Rambam, the Rifyon doesn't work. The Rifyon doesn't work. That's as we saw in the previous Rosh. That's a Gzeira. So who says they made that Gzeira? By Tfilas Kelim, Anikachem and Akum, which is a mitzvah saseh. Maybe they only made that Gzeira by Tuma. By Tuma, you're dealing with the potential for Lavin, the potential for Lavin Chamurin. You enter Mikdash. Or you eat truma when you're tamei, is the potential for misa v'yishamayim or other severe onshin. So just because they made such a gzeira by tefilas tuma doesn't mean they made such a gzeira by tefilas kelim in the kafam nak. So whether it's that we accept the Rashba, that there was no machlok at time by Rifyon, or they accept the logic of the Tferes Moshe, called Pesachin Tshuva, that it's not relevant, that whole discussion, Tanna Kamma disagrees, but Tanna Kamma wouldn't disagree by Tfilas Kelim and Kachum Akum. Whatever it is, I believe Halacha Lamaisa we do, except if you're going to be careful to hold it loosely, that is fine.
But the Chalkos Binyamin is like really against it.
Yeah?
He thinks if you were tovel, he thinks that the metal cleat, which is raised to if you were tovel it, even with the evidence, it doesn't work that way.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay. So then we definitely better talk about Hadacha. We better talk about other options. So Hadacha L'chair works the whole days, because that's Tanna Kamma. On the surface, there's not much, no pun intended there. On the surface, there's not much to say. The Darkei Moshe, though, quotes a long chunk of Mordechai. And he's in turn quoting the Rabbeinu Avigdor, who we already came across earlier. So he talks about the following Shaila. I'm toveling in, we sometimes tovel in baskets. He talks about toveling in a bucket. And when you tovel a kli in a bucket, so if you have a heavy kli, let's say you have like a heavy salad bowl, the flat bottom, it's built to sit flat on the table. So you have a heavy salad bowl, Sir Ben Victor says you better not put it down straight or upside down, either way, in the bucket, because then the water is not going to get to the bottom. You have a heavy, that's not roughly. Now the water is not going to get underneath. He says, what do you do? Instead, put it on its side. So put it on its side so you can roll around back and forth. And when you lower it, then that'll be fine. Why are we putting things in buckets? Just a little bit of his history of technology here. The reason why I'm putting things in buckets, who puts things in buckets when you put them in the mikveh? The answer is, the mikveh was, for many of the balitosis, if you didn't live in a town that was not on the ocean, or on a river, or it was on a river, but it was a river which, you know, didn't pass the test of the Gemara Nadar we began with, a river which is mostly fed by rainwater. So oftentimes your most convenient mikveh for Tfilas Kelim would be the local well. Whether, regardless of whether the well is rainwater or spring water, if it's not moving, it's not an issue. And obviously people aren't going to total in the well, that presents severe logistical issues. But Caleb put the kli in the same way you get the water from the well by you have a pulley attached to a bucket, you lower it down, you bring it up full of water. So you could use that bucket not only to bring up water, you could also use the bucket to lower and bring up a kli that needs to be low. So put the kli in the bucket, lower the bucket, and then bring it back up, and you're good. Go look. The Rebbe Avigdor says, good idea, but just be careful. If it's a heavy kli, don't put it down flat in the bucket, because then what's it called? Because then it's gonna be the water's not gonna get underneath. The water's not gonna get underneath. So then the Darkei Moshe quotes that the Mordechai then goes on to ask Akasha. He says, what do you mean? But I have a mission in the end of the seventh paragraph of Mikvos. It talks about you have a big bed, you need to tovel in the mikvah. The mikvah is not so deep. So how are you going to fit, again, obviously not Kamel in the Kacham Nakam, you're not eating off the bed, but this is for Tumah purposes. So how are you going to get the mikvah, how are you going to get the bed into a relatively shallow mikvah? So the Mishnah says, the end of the seventh parak, well, you stick it in the water, and let's say if the bottom is sort of like muddy, so Mayim Mekadmin, it already touched the bottom of the foot of the feet of the bed, already touched the mikvah water. Then as you continue to press it into the mud a little bit, you still have the Mayim Mekadmin. The water got, mikvah water got in there first. So the Mordechai says, so why do I need to put the clean outside? Just wet the bottom of the, if there's a rule of Mayim Mekadmin, so just wet the bottom and then put the salad bowl in the bucket, lower it down, and you're good to go. So, and that's basically also, it should be noted, that's really our mission in the eighth parak also. Hidiyach yadu, wet your hand and then hold the kli. So the Mordechai says, no. The reason why Rabbeinu Avigdor says you can't put this heavy salad bowl flat down in the bucket, you got to put it on its side so it can roll around, is because the only time it helps to wet the bottom, Mayim Mekadmin, the Mishnah in Perek Zayin, you're sticking the bed into the mikvah, what type of water is already touching it? Mikvah water. So you stick it into the mikvah, so then It you're surrounded by a little bit of the mikvah water, so then you're good. But if it's not going to be mikvah water, and that's the nisht. So the Ramah says here, the same is true for the basic din of hidiyach. Not just this funny case of, why are we talking about a salad bowl in a well? No. It's relevant even every time you want to hold the kli. You want to hold the kli, so you want to do hadacha, right? The two solutions Mishnah had were Rifyon or Hadacha. So again, so Rifyon is a machlokas. And Levi pointed out that the Chalkat B'Yamin is concerned about the shach, better to avoid rifyon. So we'll do hadacha. So Rama says, you're doing hadacha, what are you wetting your hands with? You can wet your hands, then you can hold it even tightly. Hold it tightly as long as your hands are already wet. Wet with what? So Rama says, well, wet with mei mikvah. Dafka shelichlach yada b'mei mikvah. Avalo b'mayim telushin. But not the other water. What do you mean other water? What do you mean mayim telushin? So the Mati Yainasin on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra both point out, well, I don't understand. So what does Rama want me to do? Stick my hands in the mikvah? Wet my hand in the mikvah? Then pull it out, grab the glass dish, and then put it back in? What does that help? I took my hands out, so now it's not mei mikvah anymore. Now it's mayim telushin, which is exactly, by the way, what would have been the case in the bucket also, in the Mordechai's bucket. So the Matthias and the Gra both say, you know what the Rama means? He doesn't mean wet your hand in the mikvah and then take your hand out and grab the things you need to tovel. No! He means stick your hand in the mikvah and leave it there, like Mayim Makadmen. Stick your hands in the mikvah and leave it there, and then put, with your other hand, put the kli into your submerged hand and hold tight. Okay, so that's how these Acharon point out. That's what the Rama means. The Gra himself doesn't think, he says, I think that's called the Rama, but I don't think that's how we pass. The Gra says, nah, it doesn't matter if it's mikvah water or not. He says, I disagree with the Mordechai. And the Rama. Nah, he says, number one, the language of the Mishnah, remember, forgetting about the Mordechai, we're talking about Mishnah Perek Zayin with the Mayim Mekadmin and the bed. Forget about that. The Mishnah Perek Ches, with which we began, which is the core source for Siv Beis. What was the language of the Tanakhama? Hidiach, yadiach, to rinse your hand. It doesn't sound like you're sticking your hand in the mikvah and leaving it there. As a matter of fact, it doesn't sound like you're using main mikvah at all. Well, hadiach sounds like wash your hands. Get them wet. So Gra says, Pashtos. There's a longer Gra here, where he explains what Ramah's shita is. Ramah thinks your hands have to be stay under the mikvah, connected to the mikvah while you put the kli into it. The Gra says, nah, I don't think that's what the Mishnah Perches doesn't sound like that. Lahadiach means just to rinse your hands with any type of water. And he says, I'll explain the lamdas of it. The lamdas of it is that, like we said before we got started with the basics of mikvah, that once you have memsah, of kosher mikvah water, so any other mayim shuvim that touches it also becomes an extension of the kosher mikvah. So he says, what's the problem? The Gra says, rinse your hands in the sink, and then so far that water is not kosher tefillah, but then you rinse your hands in the sink, you hold on tight to the kli, and then you stick your hands in the mikvah. So now the edge of your hand is touching the main mikvah. So the water in between your hand and the kli is touching the main mikvah. So it's all now an extension of the mikvah. So the Gra says, nah, he doesn't think you have to worry about the Mordechai and the Rama. There's more to get into in terms of details of Hilchos Mikvahs. I told you before, you can have a bar tevila of tap water next to a bar of Mei Geshamim. By the other hand, there are rules about how large that hole in between has to be. So the Gra is not a shoo-in, because here it's obviously a teeny tiny fraction, a fraction of a millimeter. You're holding tight to the kli. How much interface is there between the water between your hands and the kli and the main mikvah? It's a very, very, very small connection. Okay, so that's a machlokas rishonim achronim. If you're doing hadacha, does the hadacha mean with mikvah water? Which again, many achronim understand the Rama means stick your hands under the mikvah and leave your hand there and put the kalim in. So the water never detached. The water in between your hands and the kli never detached from the mikvah. Or like the Gra, you can wet your hands with any type of water. So those are the two solutions to the logistical problem. How are you going to hold on to a kli and get it out? So the Mishnah says either rifyon or hadacha. Of course, there is a third option in terms of the practicality of tefillah also. And with this, we close. And the third option is don't hold on to it at all. who has to hold on to the kli. I mean, sometimes you have to, but maybe you can use a basket, or maybe you can just, if you want to, you could, you could use a basket, and then you're good to go. Now, just a point or two about baskets, and there are two ways to use baskets. There are three ways to use baskets. One is no good, and two are great. One great way to use a basket is the way people usually use a basket, which is you put a couple of pieces of silver in the basket and put the basket in. Ideally, shake it a little bit, like the way the Mordechai had described. So, sure. The basket's in the water. You should give it a moment when the kli pops off the basket for a moment. So then for sure, you don't have to get involved in any hadach or anything. You have one moment, a split second, when the kli is submerged in the water, not touching the basket. So that's your moment when the water is touching the kli from all sides. Gevaldik. Good. You need that one moment that's kol guf hakli ole v'vasachas. One moment where the kli is totally touching the water from all sides. That is your tefillah. So if you want to put something in the basket and give it a shake, or you want to put a few pieces in the basket, give it a shake, gevaldik. It's important to point out, though, that you have to be careful that you don't overstuff your basket. If you put an entire, your service for 12, service for 16, service for 16 is 80 pieces of silver plus all the serving pieces. You put it all into the basket, so even if you're going to give it a shake, there definitely going to be kalim in there that are not touching the main mikvah, certainly not all sides of the kli touching the main mikvah simultaneously. So obviously, if you're going to use the basket in a typical fashion, you have to make sure that you don't put it too much at a time. If you look in the Darkei Moshe, he has discussion more from the Mordechai, but let's say you're stacking kalim, a small kli inside a big kli, how large a hole do you need? You definitely have to be careful that you can't put 10 pieces of silverware. If you're putting in plates, let's say things that stack well, that you're probably going to have to put them in one at a time. Or there is another way to handle it also. One of my sons once pointed out to me, there's a way to handle a basket that you don't have to fill and refill. That is
the basket first?
Yeah, you put the basket in first and use it as a catcher's mitt. Now, instead of putting things in the basket and then put the basket in, you have to shake. Just put the basket in, hold the basket in, and then just start dropping things one at a time. You can have you can have 85 pieces of silver. Just drop them in one at a time. One, and it is mamash lamahadrin, because each piece has its moment, or maybe even a few pieces if you're dexterous. Each piece has a moment as it's falling into the basket when it's touching the entire surface of the kli is touching the main mikveh at once. And then once it hits the bottom, it's already done. I don't care about the fact that it's getting stacked at the bottom. It already underwent tevila while it was falling towards the bottom. So that obviously is a very, very good solution. So again, you have the three different solutions. Either you hold it loosely, which again is a machlokes harishonim, whether it's a machlokes atanan, and it's a machlokes achronim halachalamaisin tevilas kelim, if it's acceptable or not. Mechachor and Mechaber are very comfortable with it. Again, the Shach is not. You mentioned the Chalkas Binyamin is not. The Chachmas Adam is. Pizkei Tshuva is. Okay. And then there's the second solution is the solution of Hadacha. You can hold it even tightly, assuming your hand is wet. Now, what wet means, we point out as the Machlokas, the Ramah based on the Mordechai thinks it has to be wet with mikvah water, not with sink water. And the Gra Matyonson said, if you want to be wet with mikvah water, maybe it has to be your hand is still in the mikvah, not that you took it out. So you have to leave one hand in the mikvah and then put things, you have heavy things you want to hold on to, so put one hand in the mikvah, and then with the other hand, let's say you put your right hand, if you're righty, put your right hand in the mikvah, leave your right hand submerged, with the left hand take the kli, put it into your right hand, which is still under the mikvah, then grab tightly with the right hand and then dunk it under and pull it out. Now, that's the way the Matyos and the Gra read the Ramah. As I mentioned, the Gra himself thinks this is unnecessary. He rejects the Mordechai. The Gra says, nah, it can even be any type of water when you're doing Hadacha, Pashup Shan Hadacha. And he thinks that the way it works is just that the water, the Mayim Shuvim on your hand, become an extension through Hashaka they become an extension of the mikvah once they're in contact with the mikvah. Okay. And then finally, the third option is don't hold it all. Use a basket and use it well. Figure out how you're going to have, your kli is going to have a moment that it's touching the water from all sides, and you may want to use a basket or something like that to make sure that afterwards, after you're done, you can extract it without getting all wet. I mentioned next time, I mentioned last one, the Maamar Kamos I gave you are several weeks worth. So we just covered Sifim Aleph and Beis. The Mishnah next time will pick up first with Sif Gimel, which is brief and intriguing. Some of the discussions about the bracha. Actually, this is actually some Tfilas Kehil. This Sif Simen Kuf Chaf Sif Gimel actually is an important address. Some discussion, general discussions about the rules and Birkas HaMitzvahs, which may be of particular interest for those who are learning Mesechus Brachos. And then beyond that, we'll move on to the last five Se'ifim. Se'ifim Yud Beis through Tazayin, Beis through Tazayin, as well as one Se'if at the beginning of Kuf Chaf Aleph, Hagalah, and that will wrap up the dinim of Tfilas Kehil. It's likely they'll take us two more Chaburos to cover everything, so you shouldn't feel rushed.